Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm having an off-air conversation with Ray Kaplan. She is the debt relief expert that we frequently go to when it's all about student loans. You can visit financialrelief.com to find out more. But Ray's in our studio today to kind of catch me up on this thing. Ray, welcome back. Thanks for coming in.
Happy to be here.
Ray and I were just talking about travels to Greece and Turkey, because you go there sometimes too.
Yeah, I go to Greece every summer. And
because your family, you have in-laws there, right?
Right, Greek relatives. So we go every year, and it's a beautiful country, and everybody should go there at least once because it's so beautiful.
The water is as good as you hope it will be.
It really is. Does not disappoint.
I know. That's the thing. I thought, I've heard about this. I'll be disappointed if it's not just spectacularly, glittery water. It is. I swim every time I go.
Oh, yeah. It's invigorating. It's just in the food, and everyone's having fun. And
you haven't had cucumbers and tomatoes until you've been to Greece.
Oh, God. I have to tell my husband that you said that, because he always says that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that's the way I felt. So what's the one town, city, or stop that somebody should make when they go to Greece?
Well, there are so many. I mean, I really think Athens, you got to see Athens. It's such a beautiful city, and there's so much history there. And I think the some of the islands on the Ionian side, there's one, Kefalonia, which was Venetian. So there's a lot of Italian influence there. Very beautiful, and it's greener than the Cycladic islands like Mykonos and Santorini, which are really beautiful too, but they're more arid over there. And they get a ton of tourists over in Santorini too.
Yeah, if you want, well, that's where I usually go to these tourist stops. Which, as a tourist stop, Santorini ain't bad.
Oh no,
Mykonos ain't bad. Rhodes ain't bad.
Beautiful.
And Athens is all of that. It's a tourist stop, but it's also great history. It's funny because we were walking through the streets of Athens. There's all of these restaurants and cafes, and the managers would stand out on the streets, and they would say. And they were so trying to pull us in, almost literally, but certainly with their words. And as we'd walk by, this one guy goes, "Hello, American movie stars. You are American movie stars. Yes, come in." Like, how can you say no to a guy? And you go, I know that's a line of crap, but it's such a good line of crap.
Yeah, so I'm flattered, so I'm going to go in.
I respect your line. Ray, what's the latest from the Biden administration about student loans?
Well, right now, the Biden administration has done a lot for federal student loans that people don't know about. But one big new change is this new IDR waiver, which means that you get much closer to getting your loans forgiven, even if you're just in the private sector. So we see clients all the time who are basically like, oh my God, I've been paying on these loans for 20 years or 30 years since the 90s. When am I going to be done? This IDR waiver gets you much, much closer to forgiveness, but there are some affirmative steps you got to take in order to take advantage of it.
Okay, I'll ask you about that, but what happened to loan forgiveness? What happened to the $10,000 and $20,000?
Still on pause, and we're waiting for the U.S. Supreme Court to decide whether or not that executive order is constitutional, so we should know in the spring.
So then are we in forbearance then right now?
Still in forbearance, because basically the Biden administration said, look, it's not fair to ask people to pay on student loans that might actually be canceled or forgiven, so let's wait and see how the Supreme Court decides, and if it survives, then your loans are forgiven.
And forbearance? Forbearance goes till when now? They usually set an end date.
Well, so what they've said is if the Supreme Court decides the issue and resolves it, then it's going to be 60 days after that decision, or
June 1st or June 30th?
Yeah, 60 days after June. So really what they're saying is the end of August or September. So we're really just keeping an eye on it. And it does not apply to all. Well, actually, the forbearance does apply to all federal student loans. But as you know, the forgiveness only applies to people making under a certain income level, $125,000 if you're single, $250,000 if you're married.
That's the forbearance.
I'm sorry, that's the forgiveness.
Forgiveness plan. Forbearance, though, does apply to everybody that took out a federal loan.
Right, it does apply. So that's actually a really nice break, and it's a really good time to kind of get everything in order and what we're doing for our clients is making sure that all of these other changes that the Biden administration is doing through executive orders, that we're able to take advantage of those for our clients. So the IDR waiver, which will get you far closer to getting your loans just finished on a much faster track, lowering your monthly payments when they do resume, whether that'll be spring or summer, we kind of have to wait and see, and applying for any other loan forgiveness, because all of the loans that are forgiven before January 1st, 2026 are going to be forgiven tax-free. So you don't have to pay income tax on that loan forgiveness. So that's important too.
But you might pay state income tax depending on the state on that, right?
Depending on the state, but not in Illinois.
But in Indiana, you would, I believe.
Yes, you would.
But then what's this headline? Feds propose student loan safety net alongside forgiveness. Now, is that what you've been talking about as well?
Well, I think what they, I'm not sure if that's the article that's referring to it. There's a new income-driven payment plan, right? And so that's kind of the subject of some argument, because what they want to do, and this would be really big. So there's an income-driven payment plan called Revised Pay-As-You-Earn. And it works on a formula that it's essentially 10% of your gross discretionary income. Well, they're proposing a new formula, which would be 5% of your discretionary income. So it would really cut your payment in half, and then you would still be eligible for forgiveness. So these are some really good changes that for our clients, it will mean a difference between if your payment was $500 a month, now it's going to be $250 a month.
So we have forbearance, we have forgiveness on hold, and then we have this safety net, which is another way if you qualify economically. Is this in place now?
The income-driven payment plan is not yet in place, the new one, and we're not sure when it's going to be fully implemented. One of the big issues is that in that big omnibus spending bill, the $1.7 trillion, apparently the money that was going to be allocated to FSA, the Federal Student Aid Agency, under the Department of Education, they decided not to give them the increase in funds. So they're trying to pull money out of other areas to try to fund it. So there's an issue there because they don't have really the money to implement this stuff yet.
And if it requires congressional approval, I'm of a mind now that they're not going to get it.
I don't think they're going to get it. No, there's a lot of opposition to it. So we kind of have to wait and see. It's going to be interesting over these next few months.
Mm. Okay, but then I've got a question for you. Let's pause here and come back in just a minute. But then what advice do you have for people now? Because I'm going to bet that this isn't going to stand up constitutionally. The Congress isn't going to cooperate. All you're going to get is forbearance. That's going to come to an end. And then you're going to have to start making payments. If you started making payments now, you would cut away at the principal more radically than if you do it afterwards when interest kicks in. Ray, so what advice then do you have for people who, it's kind of a guessing game, isn't it? Should I start paying on my student loan now if I can?
Well, so we take each case individually and formulate the strategy. So we actually just had a client who's a doctor who paid down his federal student loans by a couple $100,000 during the COVID forbearance. And now he's actually going to be working full time in the public sector. So the analysis was, does it make sense to get that money that you paid refunded to you and then pay under an income driven repayment plan and take advantage of public service loan forgiveness? He ultimately decided not to go that way and just to finish off the payments on his federal student loans. But there's an analysis to be done on everybody's situation because everyone's situation is different. Some people really need that refund to apply to maybe high interest debt that they may be carrying, or if they owe the IRS or something like that. And then we can work out a payment plan and a strategy on their federal student loans that will keep them current and in good standing, but ultimately getting their loans forgiven under one of these programs.
For 2 years now, we've had forbearance. And
since 2020.
So that money you've paid, if you have been, you can get refunded to you.
Yes.
This doctor was probably looking at tens of thousands of dollars.
A couple hundred thousand.
That he could have gotten back.
That he could have gotten refunded. Right. Right. Yeah. So that is available.
But
he
just wanted to get that off his plate.
Exactly. He decided that, you know, there was no other pressing debt that he needed to get rid of. And so he just wanted to, you know, continue and pay the federal student loans and just get rid of them, which is great. But sometimes it makes sense for you to get that refund. Let's say you have high interest credit card debt. You can apply those funds to the high interest credit card debt and then pay on your federal loans under an income driven plan. The point is to know how the law applies to you and so that you can make the best financial decision for you.
This is Janet. You're on WGN Radio. Janet, what can we do for you?
Hi, Ray. Thanks for being on. I have a question. My daughter is an emergency manager. She works for a fire department, and she applied before for the public safety forgiveness program. And at that time, she had to be with the department for 10 years. But I understand, and she told me that it's changed. Has it gotten better, and what's changed about it?
Well, okay, so there are a few different things. We've got to make sure that she has the right type of federal student loans. So if she had not previously consolidated her federal student loans, it might be that her federal loans were not eligible for PSLF. And so we would want to check that out. And then we want to see if she was in the right income-based repayment plan. What they did is they temporarily expanded PSLF to TEPSLF, so that stands for temporarily expanded PSLF, where if you were previously in the wrong payment plan for, you know, years and years, and those payments normally under the law wouldn't qualify for public sector loan forgiveness, under TEPSLF, you could now get credit for those years that you spent in the wrong payment plan. So we can see if we can get her credit for those periods where she might not have otherwise gotten credit and get her that much closer to the magic 120 payments that she needs. So there are some changes. Those are probably going to end within the next year or so. So it is important to, if she wants to give our office a call, we'd be happy to take a look and, you know, walk her through it and see how close she is and how many payments she should have qualifying. She should also make sure that her loans are being serviced by MOHELA. MOHELA is the public service loan forgiveness servicer that has a contract with the Department of Education. It is still the case that she needs 10 years to qualify for PSLF. So those things don't change, but the rules were kind of temporarily expanded. So we might be able to get her closer than she previously was. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does. And sounds like I'm going to have her give you a call.
Yeah, please do. We'd be happy to help her.
It's funny how many letters and numbers you just heard, and it does make sense, but I'll forgive anybody who, having heard that explanation, said, what? So I'll give the website and phone number for Ray here in a second. Good luck to you. John, please ask this question. My daughter starts college in the fall. Will she be eligible for any forgiveness? What loans should we apply for?
Okay, so this is a great question, and we do a ton of pre-debt planning in our office, and it's one of my favorite areas of our practice. So this caller, it would really help to give us a call and let us create a roadmap and a strategy, because there, I kind of like to think of paying for college as a pie. So there are big slices of the pie that should be scholarships. There are a ton of scholarships that are available for almost everything. There are some really great websites that curate all the scholarships available, tell you the dates that you have to apply for them, how to apply for them for each individual school. So that's part of the pie. Another part of the pie should be federal student loans. So his daughter is going to qualify for her own federal student loans, but the majority of the burden is placed on the parents to pay for their kids' undergraduate education. So the parents then are going to be eligible for federal Parent PLUS loans. And the big decision there is which parent should be the borrower, because most people go with, okay, whoever's making the most money, they'll be the federal Parent PLUS borrower. But that's not really the way you want to make that decision. So we go over that with you, because if the parent who's making less money is the Parent PLUS borrower, then those payments when they come due are going to be far less than if the other parent had been
based,
the borrower.
Based on the lower income.
Yes.
Even if that parent doesn't work.
Even if that parent doesn't work, then it's zero, right?
But her first question was, will she be eligible for forgiveness? And I think the answer is no to that.
No, the answer is no. For the Biden loan forgiveness, that only applies to loans that were taken out by June 30th, 2022, I believe, was the deadline. So they won't be eligible for Biden loan forgiveness. But there's a ton of other paths to forgiveness that we can layout for them, and just so that they have a clear understanding, I would say that my one piece of advice would probably be to avoid private loans if you can, and that's a big mistake I see a lot of parents making.
Well, I think the advice that the likes of a Terry Savage would give you would be, don't go to a school you can't afford. So if it's going to be $60,000 a year and you don't have that, I'll even add this, even if you do, maybe there's better ways to spend that money.
Well, yeah, or maybe you go to a less expensive school for the first two years and then transfer to the more expensive school.
I'm a Joliet Junior College Wolf.
There you go.
But, you know, going to the JJC for me was something I was comfortable with that. I didn't pine, my family didn't pine for me to go to the University of Illinois or Michigan.
Right.
Not that I could have gotten into those schools. But, I mean, if you, I think it's none of my beeswax how you decide to live your life. And if you want to send your kid to Michigan and pay out-of-state tuition, and God bless you, you got in, but it's going to cost you $50,000 a year, that's a decision you all get to make.
Right.
But it's amazing to me how people don't seem to be fully appreciate the consequences of that.
Well, right. And really take a look at, okay, what are you planning on studying? What are you planning on doing with that degree? And today there's so much information available. What's the average salary for a marine biologist, if that's what you're looking into? And what's your payment going to look like on your federal student loans? We can give you all that information.
I think that's where schools are guilty of malpractice.
Right. Yeah, they don't. And that's part of the Biden administration's push, actually, is to kind of flag your account and kind of do some counseling with you if you're choosing a major that is not likely to lend itself to a career making a lot of money. They want to kind of discuss and counsel you whether or not that's a good idea.
This is from the Tribune the other day. Feds propose student loan safety net alongside forgiveness. You and I talked about this a little while ago. I just want to read part of it. It says here, under the existing plans, monthly payments are capped at 10% of a borrower's discretionary income, and those earning less than $20,400 a year are not required to make payments. Does that sound right?
Right. Their payment will be calculated at zero.
The new proposal would cap payments for undergraduate loans at 5% of a borrower's pay, cutting their bills in half, and require payments only for those who earn more than about $30,000 a year.
Correct.
I don't know what I just said.
That's correct. So if you have undergraduate federal student loans, your payments will be cut in half because of this new IBR plan that has not been fully implemented.
As long as borrowers make their monthly payments, any unpaid interest would not be charged. You mentioned that too.
That's correct. Now, the issue comes into play, though, is that most people have about $30,000 in federal loans for undergrad. And if you go to grad school, then you have a whole bunch of other federal student loans. Those graduate plus loans are not eligible for this new 5% plan, but it still does overall lower your monthly payment on your federal student loans.
The change is meant to prevent borrowers from having unpaid interest added to their loan balance, a practice that can cause debt to snowball even as borrowers make payments. You, Terry, and I have all talked to people who have interest greater than the initial loan was.
Right.
I borrowed $30,000 and I owe $36,000 9 years later.
Under the statute that applies, it's called capitalization of interest. And so there are things that trigger capitalization of interest, so such as coming in and out of forbearance, switching payment plans, things like that. What they do is they add the accrued interest to the balance of your loan, and then interest accrues on that new increased balance. So it greatly increases your loan balance.
Well, all right. Time for maybe just one last question from you. And people always ask this. Why don't we just cap or lower the interest rate that people have to pay on these loans? And you guys always say, well, they can't do that. But they can do whatever they want. I mean, if it's a federal loan, mm-hmm. can't the government just lower the rate to 1% or 0%?
They can, but probably financially, fiscally, that's not really responsible for them to do. They have to make money on these loans. So the interest starts to accrue as soon as the loans
are talking about $1 trillion
are dispersed
here in student debt.
Right. So interest does accrue as soon as the loans are dispersed on most federal student loans. They're subsidized and unsubsidized. So it doesn't accrue on subsidized loans while you're in school, but unsubsidized, it does accrue. However, oftentimes, depending if you know what you're doing, yes, interest is accruing, but oftentimes you don't have to pay it. So some people do wind up paying the interest, so they pay back their whole loan plus interest, and other people pay a fraction of their loan and none of that interest.
Here's the website to go to if you want a further explanation of all of this, financialrelief.com.
Yep.
Financialrelief.com. The phone number at Kaplan Law is 312-294-8989, 312-294-8989. Okay, Ray, thanks for your help today.
Anytime.